Today on Rethink Real Estate, I'm going to be going through silent objections, how to uncover them, and how to learn from them as well. An expensive way to learn, there's no doubt about it. I talk about, you know, the definition of an objection and then obviously going into the silent ones. I really am a big believer in this silent objection movement where a great deal of people in the real estate space, you know, or people when they're selling their home, they oftentimes won't ask questions for two reasons. One, they feel like they're embarrassed because they need to know stuff about their purchase or their real estate transaction. They might not be as vulnerable up front with a perfectly good stranger. Two is that, you know, they genuinely don't know what questions to ask because they're only doing it every so often. So today we talk about the different strategies of absolutely how to extract that silent objection in the conversation and then how to cater for it moving forward, how to adapt your presentation to make sure you're conscious of those moving forward as well. Hopefully this is helpful, guys. You know, I think that putting this together today, hopefully it opens your eyes to it as well, and you can look back at maybe some of the other business that you might not have gotten over times and really understand that even further. Thanks so much. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Objections are a funny thing to sort of talk about, primarily because of the reason that I think that there's a lot of the objections within the industry that are silent objections. And again, I think that we need to get an understanding of what an objection is, first of all, before we dive into the conversation, is that I think that, you know, an objection is basically, if I was to sort of refine it or look at it a little bit further, you know, a customer's response to an unanswered question is sort of what I would think an objection is. And if you were to really think about that, though, this is the thing that scares, I think, the living shit out of me in a listing presentation or in any presentation that we do to any individual, is the fact that most people, and again, this is probably, I don't know if I'm saying this the right way, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it, is most people are pretending to know more about a particular point of their lives or a particular part of a process or an individual situation than they actually do. So they probably don't ask as many questions at the fear of looking a little bit silly because they should know stuff about real estate or they should know stuff about selling their home. When in realistic terms, somebody only does it on an average, if you look at the new statistics, every 5 years in the major parts of the country. So that's something to sort of think about, because I believe there's objections that actually people are giving us a courtesy by asking them up front and being vulnerable with a complete stranger in most of the situations to ask an actual question and give you that objection. I think an objection is a positive thing. You get to answer it. You get to obviously show some expertise. It engages them deeper into you. And I think that there's a great deal of positivity there. But it's the silent objections that I think that we need to sort of lean into and we need to explore a little bit more. So I'll tell you where this sort of topic sort of stemmed from, is that Taj, a gentleman who is one of our business owners on the Oregon coast, he mentioned the other day in a presentation that we were doing in our Top 20 Connect, where he's like, no, I bring it up with this. I've brought it up with the sellers about the buyer side lawsuit in my presentation. Hey, look, there's currently a lawsuit going on and so on and so forth. And I just thought to myself on there, I didn't say anything. I thought to myself, I'm like, if he didn't bring that up, would they have asked more questions? Because he said he brought it up in a presentation and the seller of that property said, oh yeah, I do have a couple of questions about that. Now, whether that was just a reminder of some questions that they did have and they genuinely had seen had seen the publicity and wanted to understand it a little bit further and all of those type of things that you can go through your mind. But then I thought to myself as well, you know, would have he been better off not mentioning it whatsoever and not bringing it up? And I think it just depends. I don't have a direct answer to this. It's something that I just want to work through and I want to talk about, is that, you know, are you better off presenting all of those different things and provoking people in those different situations where questions usually arise? I think the answer is yes. And I'll get to the main point of this here shortly, but, you know, there's sometimes there's a saying, let sleeping dogs lie, you know, whereas there was a situation that I had very long ago when I was part of a 5-office network in Australia, is that a gentleman by the name of Lucas Point was an agent that he used to be a construction worker. And he walked back into the office one day and Lucas goes, he's like feeling pretty happy with himself. And he's like, I think I just nailed the listing presentation. I'm like, oh, great. Did you sign it up? And he's like, no, no, I didn't. But like, it was a really good presentation. The next day I remember going into the office in Browns Plains and he's like, hey, I lost that listing. And I'm like, really? I thought you said you were really confident about it. He's like, yeah, I lost it over, you know, to a discount agent, giving a discount fee. For those that are playing at home, GoGecko, if those in Australia understand what I'm talking about now, it's another company that doesn't exist anymore. It's like Purple Bricks for those that saw the absolute demise of that. However, it was funny. I said to him, all right, well, let's sit down and let's go over some fee objections. And he's like, they didn't ask me any fee objections. They didn't have any objection to my commission that I told them. You know, I just sort of said what it was and then I moved out. I'm like, do you let sleeping dogs lie? No, I think you've got to jump all up and down and wake them up and know what you're dealing with a little bit. Poke the bear, so to speak. Or design your presentation in a fashion where you know what those silent objections are. So how do we know, how do we uncover, how do we discover the silent objections within a conversation? Let's talk about that a little bit more. And again, I think that the first things first is remembering those ones that come up out front and the people are asking those questions. Don't ever get entitled. I don't think that's the right word. Don't ever get prickly at somebody asking you a question. I think that that shows a level of engagement. I often know when I'm doing an auction presentation that if I go through it from start to finish and somebody doesn't ask any questions whatsoever, sometimes we get the business. There's no question. And people, you know, just do something different in a moment where they need help. And that ends up biting me in the ass later because they get a low offer before the auction. They don't know why they're getting a low offer. They basically had zoned out in the presentation and were just using something else instead of doing a price reduction, or the agent talked them into it, or I talked them into it, or whatever it is. And it bites you in the ass later in the process, right? Definitely does if they're not engaged all the way through. But if they're not asking questions up front, then, you know, I think that there's two people. There's the ones that don't ask any questions because they don't know the questions to ask. They're the ones that I think we've got to cater to, because if we don't fulfill those objections where we say something to them and say, hey, often sellers ask us this, or often we get asked this, or oftentimes this is a situation and I want to address it. I think that you can do that. A good example of that in our auction presentation, I think in a silent objection is always, well, are we only going to get people that, you know, are looking for a deal, or investors or flippers or wholesalers? So there's a part of the presentation where I go into it and I say to people is that, hey, oftentimes people ask us, are we only going to get investors, flippers, wholesalers, people looking for a deal? The answer is that yes, we bring all of those people to the party. But I just want to point out that 93% of our properties in the last 12 months sold to primary end users, the people that will be living in the property. Because whilst we use the investors, flippers, wholesalers, all the people looking for a deal, we use them as the people as leverage to bring the primary end user up. You know, you can see people go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of them will even self-fulfill the prophecy of going, oh, yeah, I was going to ask you that question, but you handled that. No, that's fine, perfect. You know, it's just going through those little things. And again, you don't know what those silent objections are until you've done a lot of presentations, until you've dug a little bit deeper, until you've lost a certain amount of business. Because I think that where the problem is with silent objections is that it's a very expensive way to learn. I think that you can obviously go down the path of asking people direct questions of why you didn't get the business, but I don't think that they will be as truthful. And I often see this in a situation where the auction team will reach out to buyers or agents on the other side of a transaction instead of the listing agent. Now, the listing agent will call us and go, hey, Ben, we've got a buyer and their agent that are just really interested. They said they might be putting an offer in to stop the auction. Great. I'll give them a call then. No problem. I call them and they're like, oh, Ben, we just didn't want to tell the listing agent that, you know, we're really not interested. You know, it's just not for us. You know, it was, yeah. Or they don't even say we didn't want to tell the listing agent. They're just like, no, it's not for us. Yeah, it really isn't. I just don't think they wanted to let people down in that moment or on the spot. So getting back to the point is that, you know, how do we uncover the silent objections? And I think that the way that we uncover most silent objections, there's two different ways, is first of all, you've got to ask for a commitment. asking for a commitment will actually really bring out in the core. Like, again, I know that we don't want to go down the path of being those typical salespeople where it's like, okay, well, can we get you to sign the contract or whatever it is? But I think you've got to ask for some level of commitment. Now, most people think that asking for a level of commitment at the end of a presentation, whether it be a listing presentation, whatever it is that you're considering, silent objections in, because there's part of this as well. Silent objections are people going through a property, doing a showing, or, you know, calling other agents or buyers for feedback after an open house and trying to find out why they didn't really like the property is asking for a commitment. And I, like, for example, calling a buyer or an agent after the showing and going, hey, can I get you to register to bid, or will you be putting an offer in prior to auction? That allows us to cut right through it and people go straight away, no, I'm not interested, or no, Ben, yeah, we'll be writing an offer prior to auction. We don't want to be involved on auction day, or something along those lines. You know, there you can understand. It's like, well, no, I don't really understand the whole auction thing and I don't really get it, you know, so we're a bit confused, so we're not going to be involved. It's like, okay, great. Well, let's talk more about that. I love that opportunity. So again, asking for a commitment can really drive the understanding of the silent commitments. Again, also losing business can do that, but again, expensive way to learn, of course, but doing a bit of a needs analysis as well up front can also be that. Now, I'm not a gigantic believer in pre-qualifying someone 100% before you get to a presentation. I think that's a little bit silly. I find that it's setting the tone of you being pushy before you get there, right? There's definitely a part of a process, and if I was going to use a listing presentation as an example of doing a needs analysis up front, because I think that you need to really try and provoke those objections early in the relationship because the longer the presentation, the longer the touch points, the longer your involvement with that person, I think they're less likely to ask you questions later on when they haven't brought them up in the very beginning. But also, you've got to make sure that you're provoking people early on, because a lot of people don't know the questions they need to ask until you bring them up in a presentation. It provokes thought and they're like, oh, okay, I hadn't thought about that. So again, a needs analysis is where I think that we could go through. So let me give you an understanding of what I mean by that as a part of a listing presentation. Now, it's not a pre-qualification in any way, shape, or form, but I know that for a fact is that when I was doing listing presentations is that I would always make a phone call the day of, the morning of, because most of, probably all of them, 99% of them were in the evenings or in the afternoons is when most of the listing presentations were. Making a phone call that day, ring, ring, ring. Hi, Bob, it's Ben Brady. I'm just coming. I just wanted to confirm that our 5 o'clock meeting today is still good for you. Is that right? Yes, it is, Ben. Great. Okay, great. Hey, I wanted to just ask a couple of questions before I got there. Look, I've taken a drive around the area. I know the area well. I've looked at a few comparable sales. Do you know 28 Smith Street? It's just down the street from you. It was 4 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. No, on this square feet. I don't know it all. Yes, I do know it. Now, again, this is a provoking question where how much do they watch the market? Is that person going to be somebody that you walk into and they're throwing comps in your face? Quite often when I've made this comment, do you know 28 Smith Street sold for this, whatever it may be, quite often I'll get don't use that. Don't look at that property. There was one at 123 Smith Street that was this, and this, that's how I would compare my property to. You know, so you've got, oh, okay, they're going to be very opinionated on price. Gives you an understanding of that you're probably going to have to deal with a whole lot of objections around getting them the most amount of money or making sure that you don't give it an opinion of the value of their home, okay, because at the end of the day, they're just going to compare you to the next agent and you're going to lose. You've got to give them something more process orientated, like auction, where it's not the promise of a price, it is a discovery of the process in order to get them there. So again, there's a whole thing that you can go through that. But again, it's a very early on in the relationship where I'm confirming the appointment and I'm trying to get an idea of their expectations of value before I go. It's a whole nother podcast and I've done it before and it's on other episodes and I can do it again. If you want it, just reach out. But I think that the other part of this as well is that when you're in the property, okay, when you're in the property and you're sitting down with them and you've gone through and you've done the virtual tour of the home, you've sat down, you've all these different things, is that I think that sitting down and doing the agenda of sale. Now, if anybody's an avid follower of Rethink Real Estate, they might have gone through and you might have heard my agenda of sale when it comes to a listing presentation before. Again, I think that it would be useful to understand that that is really getting all of the objections up out front. If anybody doesn't know my agenda, it's sitting down, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I'm going to write an agenda down today just so that I've got the peace of mind that I've been through absolutely everything, because my job today is to give you all the information in order for you to make an educated decision on, you know, how you're going to be selling your property. I think it's very important and very clear up front that regardless of the way that you would like to sell your home, I can do whatever it is that you would like to do. I've got multiple options that I'll share with you today, okay, that probably a little bit outside of the box than a traditional real estate agent, just doing traditional, but I'm going to set an agenda. First thing that I'd like to go through, if it's okay with you, is price. Now, on the phone, Bob, okay, you mentioned that I should look at this comp of $550,000. So we're looking between $550 and $600 is what you said. Mary, I didn't get a chance to speak to you. Is that where you're thinking as well? Yep, okay, yes it is. Okay, great. Now, again, they may or may not agree at that point, okay? But again, price is a very important thing that we're just doing, the agenda up front. Next one is method. Now, with Harcourts, we have a distinct method of selling is that we've got traditional that I'll take you through, but then also we have a non-distressed auction platform that I'd feel a little bit awkward if I didn't go through and give you all your options that you have today to show you the difference. So we'll just run over traditional and auction today. Is that okay with you if we go through auction as well? Oh, Ben, we're not really sure about auction. Look, I think that it's just something that you should know about, because even if we choose traditional, we can always transfer over to auction to use it as a different marketing ploy. If we go auction, we can always transfer back to traditional. I just want you to know your options. But again, remember, whatever way you want to go, I can facilitate. Okay, let's do it. Okay, great. Next one is marketing. I want to go through and take you through a marketing calendar. I usually use the word marketing as, you know, peace of mind instead of marketing, because what it does is that when I bring you an offer in front of you, you need to have the peace of mind that you've seen everybody in the marketplace in order to feel comfortable accepting that offer if it is at the right amount. So we'll talk a little bit about that strategy. And my final point is fees. I run a very open, transparent business. I'll be running through fees and taking you through that. Is there anything else that you'd like to go through? Now, at this point, you'll get an understanding when you're going through that agenda. And obviously, it's not as quick as that. I'm just trying to make sure that I go through it in a quick time so that you guys can see what I'm doing here, is that you'll get an understanding. Like, I've never changed my agenda in any type of a presentation that I go through. You know, I don't do the full agenda anymore. I usually just speak about auction for people. But the part of this is that if they spend a little bit more time on price, they're very price sensitive. They spend a little bit more time on the method side of things. We just want to go traditional or whatever it is. They're afraid of something a little bit different. No problem. You've got to be conscious of that. Okay. What's the silent objection there? Don't give me something that's outside of the norm. I just want to put a price on this thing and I don't want to complicate it. Okay. That's probably the silent objection. You know, marketing, if they spend a bit of time on marketing, they're probably those people that want to see it in magazines and want to see it here, that, everywhere, and whatever it may be. You've got to be prepared for that. At least it's giving you a bit of a heads up, getting them up front. Okay. What type of marketing do you do? Where is it advertised? Hey, look, we'll get there. No problem at all. And then fees, you know, obviously it's like, well, again, that's a very important part to us, Ben. You know, what is your fee? Hey, look, I'll get to that and we'll go through it, because it does depend on which way you go, depending on the fee structure. You know, it's not only trying to uncover early on in the presentation or early on in your relationship the silent objections. I think it's also part of that process is then controlling when those objections come up rather than just chasing the rabbit down the hole. It's one of the things that I've spoken about before, but I think that you've got to do your absolute best when you're uncovering silent objections to make sure it's in the right sequence of your presentation. That leads me back to the final point that I want to make before leaving you guys, is that I think that when you do enough presentations and you've lost enough business and you've heard enough objections, that you will know the common ones that will come up, and you also understand the silent ones that aren't said very often. And I think that it's important that you then tailor your presentation to deal with those. As I mentioned before, one of the ones that really consistently came up in the very beginning of us being here is about the distressed auction persona. So we talk about how distressed is a leverage element to get the highest number of people through. People fearful of that we're just going to get deal hunters and bargain basement people or investors or flippers or wholesalers, whatever you want to call them. So I go through and I address in presentation without them asking the question, 93% of our properties sell to primary end users. You know, talk about auction day. Well, what if nobody bids? Well, hey guys, we don't go to auction unless we have the right situation in order to create a competitive environment to get you the right amount of money. I talk about that in the presentation well before there's a question asked. I think that our presentation has gotten longer and more diverse and deeper from the volume of business that we knew we lost, from the questions that we knew that would consistently come up. So I think that that's something that we all need to monitor, and we need to be conscious of the silent objections that are in any conversation, regardless of whether it's a listing presentation, it's a showing, it's feedback to your clients, it's a negotiation, it's anything. Think about that. Think about it from another angle. Where is that silent objection? Thanks, guys. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.